Now, I've got a story for you that will guarantee that you will remember 2017 Christmas Eve service here at First United Methodist Church of Irwin. I dropped a candy cane in my office, and I bent over to pick it up, and my belt broke. These pants will not stay up without a belt. So you'll be seeing me do this until I get a belt, because I called the wife. She was at the 10 o'clock service. We were at the 5:30 children's service. She's coming back for the 11 o'clock service. Only now she's bringing me a belt. I lost that battle a long time ago. Battle of the Bulge. Lost that a long time ago. And the belt is on it. Here comes my belt. That's our hero, because we didn't have heat this morning in the church. Phil made sure that was taken care of. So now you got to thank God for those things that remind us not to take ourselves too seriously. This world's not our home. We're just travelers passing through on our way to the promised land. So when you get too worked up about what's going on, take a deep breath and smile. Remember that God loves you and that there's better days ahead. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And God, we give you thanks for today, for all the blessings that you bestowed upon us. We give you thanks, Lord, for loving us, for laughing with us, sometimes at us. Lord, thank you for this sacred and holy ground upon which we're gathered this night. Most of all, thank you for your presence among us, Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you for this gift of Christmas. And bless us with a heart of flesh this night, that we would be open to receive the word that you have for us. Mold us and shape us into the new creatures in Christ that you would have us be. And fill us, Lord, with true gratitude, true thankfulness for all the blessings you've given us for Christmas. Thank you, God. And now, Lord, we pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon us. Fill us all with love for one another, and especially with love for you. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. And the peace of Christ be with you. Let's pass that peace to one another.
Good evening, and Merry Christmas Eve. Along with our pastor, I too offer a warm welcome to all tonight, and especially any visitors that we might have. And if you are visiting our church for the first time, and you would like some information about the church, please see one of our ushers or the pastor after the service. Also, please take note of red attendance folders in your pew. They're located at the end of the pew. We would ask that you sign the registration form in that folder and then pass it to others in the pew, returning it to the center aisle. And for any visitors, if you do want information about our church but don't want to approach an usher or the pastor, just include your address and your phone number, and we will contact you. I would now ask that you turn our hearts and minds and think about the rejoice and the celebration we have for this Christmas Eve night, all in anticipation of the birth of our Lord Jesus. I would now ask that you stand and follow along under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response to my prompt. He's coming, the Savior of the world is coming. He comes to each one of us, healing and restoring our lives.
Praise be to God for God's mighty gift to us.
O come, Prince of Peace, bring your light to us.
We are ready to see you in our lives. Amen.
Please remain standing and join me in our unison prayer as printed in your bulletin. Gracious God, with joy and thanksgiving, we gather as your people. We have come to hear again the timeless story of Christ's birth. In the excitement of this night, Quiet our hearts, that we may know the peace and fullness of this holy time. Shine, O light, in the darkness of our world. Sing, O angels, in the stillness of our hearts. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those God favors. This we pray in the name of the Child of Bethlehem. Amen. And please remain standing for hymn number 234 in your red hymnal, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Tonight is Christmas Eve. Tonight, we light the three blue candles and the pink candle. We also light the center white candle. The first Sunday, we lit the candle of hope. The second Sunday, we lit the candle of love. The third Sunday, we lit the candle of joy. The fourth Sunday, we lit the candle of peace. Tonight, we also light the center candle. This candle represents Jesus. When we light this candle, we remember Jesus' birth. Our waiting has ended. When we look at the center candle, we remember that God sent Jesus to give hope, peace, joy, and love to all people. Outside of Bethlehem, the shepherds saw a great light and heard the voices of angels. They traveled to the manger and saw the baby Jesus. Far away from Bethlehem, wise men saw a star in the sky. They followed the star and were filled with joy when they found Jesus. They remind us that the gift of Jesus was not just for the people in one place, but for all people. Please bow your heads and follow along for the prayer. Dear God, thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus for all people, not just those in one place at one time. On this Christmas Eve, help us remember and rejoice again because Jesus was born. May we live every day remembering your love and care and showing that love and care to others. Amen.
Our first lesson of Scripture is from the Old Testament, book of Isaiah, the prophet, chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. Hear these words. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness on them has light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation. Thou hast increased its joy. They rejoice before thee, as with joy at the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden, and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor thou hast broken, as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David, and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. I now ask the Lord's blessings on Isaiah's words. Thank you, George. Our second lesson is from the New Testament, from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Hear these words as we begin telling the story of the birth of Jesus. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn.
We've waited so long for this night to come. Emmanuel, God is with us. We sing with the angels that love has arrived, the gift of this holy child. On this Christmas night of miracles, on this Christmas night of joy, we rejoice that heaven has brought us our Lord and Savior of light on this Christmas night.
In our third lesson, the story continues in Luke chapter 2, now with verses 8 through 12. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Please stand and join me singing our Christmas hymn, "Angels We Have Heard on High," number 238 in your red hymnal. In our fourth lesson, the story of Christ's birth concludes in Luke, in chapter 2, finishing off 13 through 20 verses. Hear these words. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which has been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. May our Lord add blessings to this wonderful story from Luke.
In a lowly manger, in a sleepy little town, was born a tiny infant, Son of God come down. A star up in the heavens announced the baby's birth. As angels sing their joyful song, peace to all on earth. Star of Bethlehem, shine on us tonight, little Bethlehem, Lord of glory and might. Never in this tiny town has there been such a sight. Star of Bethlehem, shine on us tonight. Gifts of gold and offered to the child, the little baby Jesus, holy, meek, and mild. A star up in the heavens, shining down its light, as monument to the promised one, born on Christmas night.
Let's hear it for Sophie and Hannah and Michael and Nate and Charles. Great job, kids. Our fifth and final lesson is from the New Testament Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 and 9 through 11. Hear now of the visit of the wise men. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When they had heard the king went their way, and lo, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Please stand now and join me in singing our Christmas hymn, the first Noel, number 245 in your red hymnal. Turn now to your bulletin, the response to the Word of God. Please recite your response to my prompt. We are filled with joy, for we have heard good news of great joy.
We are filled with love, for we have tasted the sign of God's great love.
We are filled with hope, for the angels still sing in our world. I would now ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithe and our offering.
thank you for an opportunity to give back to you just a small portion of that which you have blessed us with. And we pray, God, that you would bless and multiply these offerings and use them as you see fit through the ministries of this church for the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a hurting world. Bless both gift and giver, those who were able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Indeed, are blessed people. Even when you think you've got it tough, it's always easy to look around and see somebody that's got it tougher. But there's a lot of things that we should be thankful for this time of the year, particularly ribbons, bows, and tape, and wives who are willing to bring a belt to her husband when he needs one. A lot of things to be thankful for. So if you have a joy, if you're thankful for anything in your life, you've got something that puts a smile on your face, just raise your hand. And if you want to thank God for that, raise your other hand. Now wave them around in the air. So I told you we'd have a Pentecostal church one day. Now, I also know that being human and living in a broken world, we all have concerns. Concerns for something in our own lives, concerns for somebody in a family, a friend, a co-worker, a neighbor. There are a lot of needs among us, and we could spend all night talking about those needs and praying about them. We know a lot of people who are sick and hurting, financially in trouble, problems with relationships, with children, with parents, with church even. Problems, problems, problems. A lot of concerns. You and I have the privilege of being the children of Almighty God, and we know that God listens to our prayers. So pray about those problems. Pray about each other's problems. Know that you have favor with God and man, for it is written. So if you have a concern for yourself or for someone else, raise your hand. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and God, we do give you thanks for our blessings, for the littlest blessing to the biggest. Thank you, Lord. And God, we also cast upon you our cares, because you told us to do that. We give to you all of our burdens and our concerns. We lift them up into the light and love of your presence with the uplifted hand today. We are praying not only for ourselves, but for situations in the world. We're praying, God, for people that we know, people in our families, our neighborhood, co-workers, people in the news. God, they need it. They need your help. And we believe that you're greater than any problem that anybody has. We believe, God, help our unbelief. The chastisement of our peace is upon Jesus. By his stripes we are healed. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. With you, God, all things are possible, regardless of what the world says. We have favor with God and man. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. It is written. That's your promise to us, God. And we're standing on that promise. And we will be careful to give you and you alone all the honor and the glory and the praise. as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. If you would indulge me, would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? It says the gospel according to John, chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. You know, there's a lot of absolutes in the world. Throw something up in the air, it's going to come back down. One-way street. The last church I was at, the church was across the street. My office was on the other side. And it was a one-way street going in that direction as I looked out the window. I can't tell you how many times I saw cars going that way, you know. One-way street. You can't put a square peg in a round hole. Just can't. One and one equals two. And when the ball breaks the plane of the goal, it's a touchdown. Oh, sorry. Yeah. That's true with every team except New England Patriots, okay? Just got carried away there. The word of God is clear. The word of God makes it real clear. There is no other way to salvation except through Jesus. God, the creator of the whole universe, the author and sustainer of life, the giver of immortal gladness, he became one of us. He became one of us. In all ways, he became one of us. A wee babe in the manger. In a stable. With animals, born into a chaotic time, the world was being torn apart. He chose to come in that fashion, to be one of us, to show us the way, and to pay the price for our sin that separates us from God. John 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. No other name. No. And you can think of a lot of important people out in the world, historical people who were famous. Not one of those people, no matter how bright, how powerful, how famous they are, none of them can lead us to salvation. Just Jesus. Jesus is the only way. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Again, John 3:17, for God did not send his Son into the world, which we celebrate at Christmas. God didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Christmas. It's what it's all about. Again, I've said this several times during Advent. Christmas is not about all of the decorations and all of the food and the music and the gifts. That's all gravy. Man, that's the extra stuff. That's what we use to celebrate the fact that Jesus sent his son to save us. To save us from eternal damnation from hell. Because without Jesus, that's where we go. With Jesus, we go to the Father in heaven. Pretty simple. It's a one-way street. No other way. You would think it would be pretty clear. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Matthew 1, 22 and 23 goes on to say that Jesus will also be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Christmas is all about our salvation. We can argue about a lot of different things in life, about how much water you use to baptize with, whether you sprinkle or pour or dunk. We can argue about that all you want. We can argue about how you take communion. We can argue about how you dress in church, how often you got to go to church, how you say your prayers, whether you kneel, stand. We can discuss that all you want. You can do your thing, I can do mine. But what there is no arguing about, what there's no discussion about is salvation. It is found in no one else except Jesus Christ. You can't be good enough. You can't earn your way into heaven. You can't pay money and buy a seat in heaven. You can't be better than the next person. It doesn't work either. You can't even come and sit in the pew in church and expect to get saved. Because let's face it, sitting in a pew in church doesn't make you a Christian any more than if you were to sit in a chair in an airplane hangar would make you an airplane. It's what you believe in your heart that matters. And at Christmas, we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born to save us, to bring us the gift of salvation. And he became one of us so that we could relate. He didn't come as a king. He came as a wee baby in the manger. You know, he grew up through the hard school of Knox. And a lot of us can relate to that, right? Been there, done that. Man, I was a steel worker before going into the ministry. Worked at Bucyrus Erie in Glassport. Worked for U.S. Steel and Claritin Works. I was in those blast furnaces. I was grinding and chipping, and I was a burner. Did all that stuff and saw those mills blow up and go away. We lost a house. We lost a car. Bankruptcy. Food stamps. 4 children. Times were tough. I know. And some of you know too. Been there, done that. Didn't know where our next meal was coming from. But God was good to us. Saw us through all those tough times. And then all of a sudden God calls me into the ministry. The age of 35, I go back to college, 3 years of college at Waynesburg, go to seminary for 4 years, get my master's, sacrifice my family because I was gone a lot and they paid the price. But Jesus was the way, the only way, and I knew that. No other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. My children hated my guts for that at the time. My daughter got into drugs, all kind of other problems. Kids rebelled. Today, my 4 children, my 3 oldest children are United Methodist pastors. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through him. If you honor that, God will bless you. That's salvation. Doesn't only begin when we die, it begins right now, the moment you accept Christ. And he had to be one of us. He just couldn't snap his fingers and change it. It had to be done this way. Told this one last year. There was a man who, him and his wife and children, they lived out in the country and they had a little farm. Christmas rolled around and this man hardly ever went to church, very seldom. Well, the Christmas Eve service was coming up and his wife asked him, "Honey, are you going to go to Christmas Eve services with us?" And he said, "No." He said, "You know, I just have a hard time with believing that God would come down and be one of us. I mean, why would he do that? Just doesn't make sense to me." He said, "You go and have a good time." Well, Christmas Eve rolled around and it was a bad storm going on. Snow was coming down like crazy. The wind was howling. Temperatures were dropping. They had a good four-wheel drive truck, and the wife and the children, they went out and got in the truck. They took off for church, and the man sat down next to the fireplace, got out his newspaper, a cup of coffee, and as he started to read, listening to the wind howling outside, he heard something thud against the picture window. And he thought, "What was that?" And all of a sudden, there was another thud against the picture window. And he went over and he opened up the drapes and he looked outside, and there was a light on in the yard, and there was snow just coming down and the wind was whipping around, and there was a flock of geese in the front yard. And they were honking and swirling around. All of a sudden, thud, another one hit the window. They were trying to get inside where it was warm. And the man knew that if they stayed out there in this weather, in these temperatures, they would freeze to death. He had to do something to help them. He thought, "What can I do?" He said, "I'll chase them into my barn." And so he put on his hat and his gloves, his coats, his boots, and he went outside and he fought his way through the snow, and he got over to his barn and he opened up the doors to the barn and he went over and tried to chase the geese into his barn, and they just kept moving away from him, circling around and landing back in the yard. Occasionally one of them thudding into the picture glass window, trying to get inside. And he thought, "Well, this is crazy. It's like trying to herd a bunch of cats. Those geese wouldn't listen to him for nothing." So he went over to the barn, he turned on the light. Maybe if they saw the light in the barn, they would go. So he went back and he tried to chase them again, but they weren't having any of it. They wouldn't leave that yard. And the snow was piling up, and the temperatures were dropping, and it was getting bitterly cold. He walked back to the barn where his other animals were inside, safe and warm, and he thought, "Lord," he said, "God, what? I'm not a praying man, but what can I do to help these geese? I don't get it." And then he had an idea. He went and got one of his own geese, took it and put it in a burlap sack, and he carried it back outside, and he went on to the far side of all them geese. And he dumped his goose out, and that goose took off, shot right through all them other geese, and went straight into that barn where it knew it would be safe. And that whole flock of geese followed it into the barn. And he went over and he closed the barn doors, and as he closed the barn doors, it hit him. That's why God became one of us. Because we wouldn't follow anybody else. We'd only follow one of our own. That's the gift of Christmas. God loves you, and so do I. The ushers will come to the end of each pew and light the first candle. If your candle's lit, you hold it up near, don't tip it. The person next to you will tip their candle and light off of yours, and then hold their candle straight up in the air, and we'll do that until everybody's candle is lit. Please stand. I hate to let you go. Christmas. It's a few hours away now. Some of you will be going home to celebrations tonight. Some of you will wait till tomorrow. Whatever you do, make sure you invite Jesus in. Ask him into your heart first and foremost. The greatest gift in the world. Jesus, there is no other name given under heaven. Dear Heavenly Father, pour out your Spirit upon us. And just as these candles bring light to our life tonight, may we, through our faith in Jesus, bring light into other people's lives. So come, Holy Spirit. Come. Fill us with your love. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, Merry Christmas. Go in peace. There is a container on your way out for your candles.